Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to another edition of Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and we have a wonderful show for you today because we're going to address a topic that many of you are concerned about and have asked us to cover on this program, the Common Core educational standard that's being used in many public schools across the country in one way or another. Now, many of you are deeply concerned because we don't know what this educational reform means for our children and grandchildren. We recorded this conversation a couple of years ago, but you'll find that much of the information is still very relevant. And if you can't stick around to the end, you can find useful links on our broadcast page to keep you updated on this topic. You can find all of that at drjamesdobson.org. Now to get started, let me introduce our guest today. Elizabeth Berg has been involved in education for over 30 years. Over her career, she was a teacher, a researcher, a curriculum developer, and later a principal. Cindy Will has been a principal for about 3 years now, and before that, she was an assistant principal for 8 years. For 10 years prior to that, she was a teacher and a teacher trainer. Cindy has also received many awards and distinctions, including a Local Teacher of the Year in 2003 and the Charter School Leadership Award in 2016. Deborah Cole is also with us, and she's been involved in the charter school movement in Colorado for over 20 years. She was the founder and board member of an award-winning local charter academy, and at one point in her career, worked in the congressional offices on Capitol Hill. Now, Cindy and Deb have both spoken before the State Board of Education, the governor, and the state representatives about Common Core. All three of these ladies are obviously very experienced in education and school administration, so let's hear what they had to say about Common Core. Here now is your host, Dr. Dobson, along with former co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker.
Thank you, ladies, for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you very much.
I'll address this to the three of you, and anyone can answer who wants to, maybe all of you, because it's a basic question. It's the obvious question. What is Common Core? Have you ever been asked that before, Elizabeth?
Yes. A number of people are confused because it's a bigger answer, but the short answer is that it's a set of standards in English language arts and in math that were developed by some private organizations and then were promoted to the U.S. a government, who then promoted it to states through funding, and that it is being marketed as being research-based, as being internationally benchmarked, and as being rigorous. But what the opponents are saying, and saying very strongly, that it is none of those. It is not internationally benchmarked. It is not rigorous. It is actually very confusing, and it lacks coherence, and there's not research behind it. But they are a set of standards that will highly affect the curriculum that is taught in the schools.
And it's got a lot of momentum.
It has a lot of
because of federal money. Follow the money. You want to see what's happening in the public arena? Look for government money and you will see it very evident.
And that is so true, Dr. Dobson. But what parents need to understand is that as these are being established and rolled out and set up in districts, in schools, in states, that parents will lose their rights. They will lose their voice of deciding what they think is appropriate, what is offensive, what should be taught to their children, and what those values are.
On that matter, we'd love to talk about the parents losing their voice. If you asked what our chief beef is, there's a few of them. The first one is this one. Parents do lose their voice for their children. We ask, does the federal government really have the right to impose on states, localities, and parents what they believe kids should be taught, what values they should have, and what opinions they should have? Because that comes in the material to set students up for success for the assessments.
Listen, as a parent whose kids are now grown, but it hasn't been that long, I care about my kids. I care about what they're taught.
And our grandchildren.
I care about what lists they're on in Washington.
Yes.
What information is sent there about them. And I care about the morals that underline what is being taught. This scares the daylights out of me.
Yes, Doctor. We do lose, as parents, I too am a parent of three children. They're young adults. But this does put a wedge between the parent and the child. And as we get to talk a little bit more, you will see more and more that I'm actually being very kind in calling it a wedge.
I have one more question about what just Common Core is in general, so that our listeners understand. I believe it was Elizabeth who said it's a set of standards, but it also affects very specific curricula as well. Is that right?
That is correct, because when you have the test will drive the curriculum. There's a number of things that wrap around each other. They're the standards, and then they're the tests, but then there's the textbooks that need to support these standards.
Yes, exactly.
And parents have no say about any of it.
Nothing. No.
No, they have no say. I would like to add, Dr. Dobson and Dr. Meeker, that there is a huge amount of government money, as you said, but there is also a lot of private money involved. For example, Bill Gates has contributed over $5 billion to the effort to promote Common Core.
That's billion, not
billions,
billion.
With a B. Mm-hmm. Billions with a B as in boy.
For the most part, I don't think he shares at least our perspective on a lot of things.
If one looks into his background, it becomes increasingly evident that he does not share the agenda of the vast majority of the American public.
Yes.
I think it's safe to say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that when I mentioned Dr. Dobson, one of our chief beefs, this would be one of the first ones, the loss of local control, meaning that it's the parents' local control, the local school districts, and the state. It's much easier for us to drive up the freeway, even though it's inconvenient. It's doable. We can drive up to the Capitol, talk to legislators on these matters. It's much harder to get on a plane and fly to Washington, D.C. So what we would like everybody to be reminded of, who are these children? These children belong to the parents. These children are not the government's. And it's the parents who fund the government. We need to be reminded of how this works because it starts to feel a little upside down.
Well, and the problem also is how parents are losing their voice is that the administrators, we do not know what's going to be on the test. We cannot look at the test. We have to sign promises, guarantees that we will not discuss anything. We will not look at what's being put on the screens because they're computer-based tests. And so we are in the dark. And I take very seriously the role of being an administrator that I want to be able to look the parents in the eye and say, I know that nothing offensive, nothing detrimental will be put before your children.
Elizabeth, if this is such a great new idea that everybody ought to get excited about and carry banners for, how come parents can't know all the details? When it comes to my kids, I want to know everything that influences them. And I'm sure others did. Dr. Meeker, you have
four kids. Sounds like Obamacare
to
me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Dr. Meeker?
You know, one of the things that I'm noticing as well is that, you know, parents lose a right, but teachers are losing their rights as well to do their craft well. And that's exactly what I'm seeing with Obamacare and the health profession. You know, the government has come in between me and my patients, and they're telling me what to do and what not to do. And whenever you take a professional and you start to tie their hands, the quality of their craft diminishes.
Goes down.
Yeah.
Remarkably. And I can't practice medicine as well as I would like. And I imagine that's going to be very true with teachers because there's some great teachers in the school that now aren't going to be able to teach their craft well. And they're not only that going to be forced to teach to these tests and some of the ridiculous, the things that I've at least seen, these ridiculous curricula that are out there that are very offensive. A teacher can't even say, I'm not going to teach that. Is that right?
That's right.
Well, let me ask you all specifically about her question. Are teachers able to speak? If they don't like this, can they oppose it? And what happens to them if they do?
No, they're not able to. You will find that if they come to meetings to learn more, unless they're in schools where administrators are able to inform, they are very secretive about it. And this is a high-stakes situation. And so they are really working at the permission of their school leaders and their superintendents. Superintendents are the ones who are really working hard to have more of the voice.
And what's interesting in New York, where they're a year to 2 years ahead of the rest of the nation in implementing Common Core, though the teachers have risen up in great fury and have demanded that the schools not be required to administer the test because they're seeing the after effects of the tests both on the children and on their own careers. So the teachers' union in New York is opposing it, and interestingly enough, the Chicago Teachers Union has now come against it. American Federation of Teachers has come against it. When teachers have enough protection in numbers, sometimes they're speaking up as well.
Dr. Dobson and Dr. Meeker, we are here as representatives of charter schools. This Common Core regime is going to destroy charter schools because we came into existence precisely to offer choices to parents.
Yes.
And we have done very well in the package that we have put together of pedagogical approaches, curricula, and so on and so forth. For example, Cindy has made a bit of a name for herself by promoting cursive first. We teach only cursive writing. We start it in kindergarten. And guess what? We've found the key to reversing the handwriting crisis in this country. This will be absolutely wiped out. What we have to do instead now is to put our little ones on keyboards so that they can learn to keyboard so that they can take the assessments.
Cindy, comment on what Deborah just said. Is that really true? Common Core will make it not possible for teachers to teach cursive in this way?
Doctor, administrators, school leaders, and setting schedules have limited time. Time is the gold coin that Elizabeth often says, and it's true. So when we're scheduling, we now get to put in time for keyboarding so kids can show what they know on the assessments, which is electronic on the computer, and that gives the temptation to wipe out cursive. I was on a NPR show not too long ago, a few years ago, and I was responding to the number of states that are already eliminating cursive from their schedule for the very reason we're talking about. We are holding on. We are keeping cursive because what they won't talk about, Dr. Dobson, is they are breeding a new form of illiteracy called cursive illiteracy. In the past, professors were saying we're getting kids more and more coming to college courses, and the professor writes in cursive on the board. The kids can't read it. Guess what? It's now happening in high schools. High school teachers are writing cursive on the board, and the kids can't read it.
You think about what texting is doing to the understanding of grammar.
Yes.
They don't spell right, and intentionally so, and they have all these abbreviations. We're attacking literacy.
Exactly.
Okay. Deborah, you just gave an example of what should alarm parents.
Yes.
Rather than giving the category title, standards, or things of that nature— tell us what parents are really going to be concerned about.
I think what parents need to be most concerned about is the data collection, very intrusive data collection that will be happening with students in preschool all the way to post-college. And so the mechanism has already been set up in Colorado. It's called Data Pipeline. But this is being set up across the United States of extensive collection of data, not just about test results, but about emotional self-regulation. Do they share toys? What type of discipline issues they've come under? And so this information goes into this huge database that has been set up here in Colorado. I'm not sure what the name is in other states, but it is being set up in other states, and that this will be nationally collected. So information from preschool to post-college.
Now, for those who are not familiar with your terminology, a data pipeline means what?
That reams of data will be flowing in from required teacher reports and assessments that are more social-emotionally related to other behaviors. There's a lot of behavioral data that teachers will need to enter. It was certainly will include test data, every teacher that a student has ever had, every behavior report, parents' information.
Not only parents' information, but information on the staff members as well. The teaching staff is really in a bind with this this program, because not only is the data about them and their performance going into the pipeline, but their evaluations are going to be up to 50% dependent on how these students do on the assessments, which is one of the reasons why the teacher unions are now up in arms.
That's,
they're beginning.
That's a form of blackmail.
Exactly.
Yeah. And for the school, too, because if it does not perform up to the standards of the National Education Association or those in Washington, the school is downgraded.
Exactly.
And that means money.
That's right.
And it means a job. This is 50%. Mm-hmm. These are high-stake evaluations with very exhaustive rubrics for teachers that is tied to their performance, not just for pay, but also for longevity in their job.
Yeah.
Parents ought to be concerned about this because of the information that's being mined. Yeah. I've seen a list of 400 areas that the teacher is supposed to investigate and report on. 400 areas. Some of them have to do with sexuality. They have to do with the most personal of information about their homes and their families and about those kids. And that information is going off to who knows who in Washington, and those people can distribute it on to whomever they choose by name.
Yes, there was
until fairly recently a prohibition on revealing things of this nature outside the school. Now it's going to the federal government, just like your medical information is. I want to tell you, nobody's excited about that but me. There is nothing more personal, in your life than what you tell your doctor.
Yes.
I mean, he knows things your spouse doesn't know.
Right.
And all of that by your name is going into some file someplace.
Exactly.
Now they're going to do it for our children.
Yes.
I hope our listeners get this.
Yes.
This has major implications for the next generation, because they're going to follow these kids into adulthood.
Yes.
And then do research on the outcomes.
Yes.
And they're never going to be able to get this information out of somebody's hands.
An example, we may have all of us read a story about one of these ridiculous, extreme cases where a school went absolutely off the deep end. A little boy took a bite of a Pop-Tart. The teacher looked at the Pop-Tart and said, "That looks like a gun." Long story short, the child was suspended for terrorist
activity.
Threats.
Mm-hmm.
That is precisely the kind of data that's going to go into the pipeline and stay there forever.
Right.
Every child, for as long as we've had recorded history, every boy especially, has pointed his finger and with his thumb going back toward him and said, "Bang, bang."
Exactly.
That is a threat to somebody. That got that kid kicked out of school.
Exactly.
He
and
was
now
in
not only
kindergarten.
Kicked out, but it could potentially haunt him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's on his record. It's
on
his
a record.
National file somewhere.
It's on his record.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
record goes till 20 years of age. It's called P-20 for workforce ready. So through college, too, when if they make bad choices, all that goes in the pipeline and we'll follow them. So future bosses, employers can get access. What we haven't talked about in this, and it's real important for us to mention, is that FERPA, the Family Education Right to Privacy Act, has been changed. Where before, it was very difficult to get that personal identifiable information for students, no longer. It's all relaxed. And third parties, doctor, have access to this data. It's not just teachers, but it's administrators, schools. There's an obligation that we fill in information. They're saying, "Oh, no, no, we're just getting it ready. We don't plan on using it." They don't usually prepare something and don't use it.
So some of the data that can be collected, and this is even happening in Colorado, voting status of the parents. Why should that be an educational record? But parents need to know that that is an item that can be collected on families.
What do they mean by voting status?
Mm-hmm. Well,
Are they registered?
Are they registered?
Did your parents vote in the last election?
Do they ask about political leanings?
Or that religious?
I have not seen that in the data. I haven't gone that deep.
There's a category for religious. It's religious affiliation, and then another category that says religious consideration. And the one for voting is voting status. So I don't know if you can
listen,
put anything.
I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to overreact here, but I don't think it's possible to overreact because information becomes a vehicle for oppression.
Yeah. It does.
You know, we don't like how you respond politically. We don't like your religious beliefs.
Absolutely.
And it could be a way of damaging freedom of religion and freedom of speech.
Well, Dr. Dobson, that things that also could be collected if the teacher is having the kids read a story about a family that has a different definition of family, shall we say. And the young student naively says, oh, but my parents don't like that. That can go into the record as being antisocial, etc. And so that if parents have been teaching their children things based on their beliefs, I can guarantee that it will not coincide with the new standards.
Dr. Meeker, we're out of time for this program. We're going to do another one. But this is such a complex issue. It's no wonder that many parents don't have a handle on it. They know there's something scary here. They know there's something bad here. But they don't know for sure what it is. And I don't know that we have completely explained that. But from where I sit, this is a serious threat to family life and to the world of children. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely. And there are so many parallels between what's happening here and what's happening in medicine as well. Because this idea of the government storing very personal information on young children and then people being able to access that without parental permission or knowledge is very frightening to our liberty, and it's frightening to how that could impact the child in future years. So that, as a pediatrician, that really concerns me.
All right. For those who came into our program late, we're talking about Common Core, which is spreading across the country. Many schools have been what I would call infected by it already because there's federal government that supports it. There's incentive to get money by playing by these rules. And teachers have to fill out these forms 3-4 times a year.
You're referring to the GOLD assessment,
yes,
three times a year in kindergarten.
And the number of hours that will require to get 400 items on each of 27 students.
Yeah, we figured it out was more than a quarter of our instructional time is just used for documenting on that assessment.
We're getting our teeth into this. You guys come back and be with us next time, and we're going
to
really go for it, okay?
We'd love to.
Dr. Meeker, thank you.
Thank you.
There is so much more to discover about Common Core, so please make plans to join us again next time. I'm Roger Marsh, and as we said earlier, we recorded this conversation a couple of years ago. So if you would like more information about the current status of Common Core standards in your state, please visit our website at drjamesdobson.org. We've got a list of useful links there to help you learn more about this issue. Before we close our program today, I'd like to ask you to consider giving to our work here at Family Talk. We are absolutely committed to fighting for families in this culture and putting tools in the hands of moms and dads who are trying to raise kids who love the Lord. But we cannot do it without the help of our listeners who are able to partner with us financially. And right now, here as we near the end of the year, every gift you give will be doubled because of a generous matching grant. Now, you can learn more about donating to Family Talk when you visit our online resource center at drjamesdobson.org. You can also give a gift over the phone when you call us at 877-732-6825. And remember to ask about that generous matching gift when you call. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for part two of The Problem with Common Core. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Dr. Tim Clinton here for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. You like listening on the go, maybe while you're working out or jogging down the street? We've got a special offer for you right now today. Download free the smartphone mobile app for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. It works with iPhones, iPads, Android devices, and best of all, you can get this program delivered to you every day, 24/7, 365. It's a great way to stay connected to Family Talk. And not only our broadcast, but you can join the conversation and our Family Talk Facebook page. Read blogs, watch videos on topics of faith, family, culture, and more. By the way, search for books and digital media in our resource center and a whole lot more. You can't beat free. Go to drjamesdobson.org. Download it today, drjamesdobson.org.